So, if you watch it on the channel, you'll be able to see the YouTube comments on there. The Zoom chat would just be the three of us. So like, if we're, running long on something, I might be like, hey, but or if I'm like, hey, I gotta poop, I'll be right back. Oh wait, we're recording.
I
Crap. Oh, jeez.
that.
All right.
Good way to start off the show.
Crap. Literally crap. All right, everybody. How's it going, Thursday Warriors? Oh man. So we are here with Carissa Grant, who's going to be talking about her awesome Kickstarter for her book. And I will get to that in a minute, but welcome to the show. This could be
Thanks
fun.
for having me.
Awesome. So while we wait for everybody to kick in, we're going to talk a little bit about some events we had because we had a packed weekend last weekend. We
Yes, we
had
did.
4 days of a warehouse sale, which was awesome. Thank you to everybody who came out to that. It was not as super hot as I wished it was going to, or thought it was going to be. Even though the building's a giant tin can, but whatever. It was awesome. I saw a lot of people buy boxes, a lot of people do stuff. We premiered at that event our the DC foil variants that we got a giant collection of those in, and those hit the store tomorrow if they haven't already. I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live on our main ND Comics page here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. So check it out and see what else. Oh, we had customer appreciation sale. Thank you, everyone who came out for that. We appreciate you. How about that?
That is
It was
true.
good. The stores did great. Thank you so much, guys. Like we do really appreciate you guys. And then Sunday we had Mick Foley at the Mills, and that was awesome. He started signing a little early, and the line ended exactly at 4 as we needed it to. Everybody that came was awesome. Like there were no, like, there was only one person that asked, "Can I just go up say hi to him?" And I said, "Yeah, when you after all these people who paid to see him get to, because they paid to see him first." And but that was like right at the beginning, and after that, nothing. And it was the smoothest signing I think I've ever been to, witnessed, or ran.
And he spent time with everybody. Everybody got at least 5 to 10 minutes, if not more.
It was great.
Genuinely the nicest dude,
Yeah, it
period.
was.
Like, no ego there
Yeah.
whatsoever.
Yeah, he was super, super chill the whole time. I really appreciated him coming up. He was great. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, all right. So now I guess we will talk to Chris and see what goes on. So, Chris, you're here to talk about your books, and we have it's Worthy Chaos Redemption, right? Cool. And you have 5 issues so far, right?
Yes, 5 issues released. Six is
Okay,
already.
cool. Cool. We're gonna talk about your Kickstarter. Do you wanna talk about this, or do you want me to show the video from the Kickstarter page? Like what's your preference?
You could show the video first if you want.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. Now I'm gonna try to attempt to make sure that this thing shares with audio, but I've had issues before, so let me know. So if you guys can hear it, then the people watching can hear it. So, all right, here we go.
Yep,
I
Okay,
hear.
cool.
Thank you.
Nice. That's a weird ending to it, but I dug it. the music kind of like cuts off. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So I love this description where it's like fake Buffy, TVS, meets Supernatural and Resident in Resident Evil, not and Resident Evil.
Yeah.
In Resident Evil.
Yeah. It's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Supernatural, technically in the Silent Hill town, but in the Resident Evil universe.
Oh, geez. Speaking of Silent Hill town, like, I don't know if you've seen pictures of Pittsburgh today, but we look like Silent Hill. Like with all the Canada wildfires that are coming through right now. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Silent Hill is based on a real town. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a... I can never say the name right, but it's a town that in the, I believe it's the 50s, they set fire as an annual event. They set fire to like the underground garbage or something weird. And for whatever reason, this time it sparked something underground and it's still burning. So there's like 12 people living there still, but they can't get mail. They can't have to leave the town for all their gross. But I don't know why they're still there. It's like poisonous to live there, and the government paid everyone to move, and just some people refused to move, and it's been what now 80 years.
Jeez, it's crazy.
I did
remember hearing about that. I just couldn't remember. I don't remember where it is though. It's
Pennsylvania.
Is it in PA?
Yeah, it's Pennsylvania, but okay. I can never say it. It's like starts with a C or something.
It's probably in the east where like everything is like Native American and like tap, like people can't say Schuylkill, like Schuylkill County.
Well, I'm dyslexic, so it could be like three letters for all I know, but
they're like Schuylkill. I'm like, no, it's Schuylkill. Schuylkill.
I'll tell you, the pictures look awful. Like the roads are like split in half with fire coming out.
It's freaking awesome.
It sounds like Pennsylvania.
Stubborn people who don't want to leave even though their ground is literally burning underneath them. Totally PA. That's PA. That's 100% PA.
Sounds about right.
Exactly. So you sent me a couple or a PDF of this a little bit ago, and it was a while ago and I can't remember everything from it, but I will tell you, like, I dug it because it had like this, like you mentioned, like Buffy and Supernatural, I definitely got a Buffy vibe from it, but I was also getting like a, like almost like a Witchblade vibe. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever read Witchblade.
Actually, it's funny you say that because the issue 6 cover is an homage. Half of it is an homage to a Witchblade cover, which was actually an homage to an Uncanny X-Men cover. But so now you said that, I'll have to send it to you.
I love that era of comics, is the Witchblade and the Darkness, because I'm a Darkness fan. And, you know, that's what it seemed like. The drawings seemed very similar.
Yeah.
We're both, my artist and I are both 80s, 90s, you know, love it. Best decade. But awesome. Definitely has that kind of feel to it. And, you know, this, I don't know I don't think I've talked to you much about it at all, but ours is a kind of unique story because we did this role playing. So the two main characters, Serafina and Draven, the Angel Descendant and the Demon Descendant, they're written by two completely different people. So like everything that Serafina says or does or thinks is what I wrote, and everything that Draven says or thinks or does is what my co-writer wrote. So if you think that they sound like different characters, they're completely different characters.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. So we did this role playing over two and a half years now. And we already have 11 novels written for fun. We didn't plan this. Not going to release the novels. But 5 of those novels is series 1 of Redemption. So it's about 45 issues already written, finished to do series 1. So that's why we release them pretty fast. They're already written. My artist is pretty good and pretty fast. This is my artist, Jonas DaCosta's first paid job. So he has time to do it. He quit his job to do this for me. Oh, wow. So no guilt here or anything.
No pressure at all.
Yeah. So we release it every other month. Issue 6 got done yesterday. Cover 7 got done, got inked today. So issue 6 gets released August 15th, and issue 7, which is the end of book 1, gets released October 3rd. So the first book is 7 issues. So
Wow, that's awesome.
Kind of moving along.
So after 7 issues, it'll be collected into a graphic novel then?
The graphic novel will be released in October too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then book starts January 23rd. I gave people Christmas off to waste their money on other stuff for once. So, but yeah, awesome. This is kind of an experiment because, I don't even know if my fans can afford every other month. So we're kind of experimenting because these are really close together, which a lot of people don't do. We literally finished our Kickstarter. And then the next day we were in pre-launch for 4 weeks and then we launched right away. And so at the end, this one ends July 17th and it's going into pre-launch the next day and then it'll launch again a month later. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through the Kickstarter here. I love like the gold Anubis, the plush Anubis, the plush Merman.
Only one of those gold Anubis is left and they're not getting remade. So,
a metal cover.
Neat. Yeah, it's I have the issue 4 that I got re-released in metal. Metal's nice. Gorgeous, man. I have never had a metal cover before. And I absolutely adore it. Our issues are already pretty thick because they're 80-pound glossy pages. Ooh. So adding a metal cover just kind of fit, I guess.
Wow.
And we actually have, which a lot of people don't, and I still can't understand why, we have an issue 1 tier, both in PDF and print. So newcomers can come in and just get issue 1 if they want. And then we have a catch-up tier, both in PDF, print, and metal tier, metal cover catch-up. And right now we're on to our third stretch goal. We're on our way. So far everyone gets, even if you buy a $5 PDF, which comes with both the black and white and the color version, they will get 16 other PDFs from other indie comics, all issue ones. And wow. About, yeah. Awesome. So for $5, you're going to get pretty much 18 PDFs. And they also get the sticker. We have a sticker. And then now we're on to almost to the third goal of an issue 1 black and white, but issue 1 for our spinoff that we had made previously. Hmm. So we have that. All of our tiers come with the PDF too. So I know some people separate them, but if you buy a printed version, you get the PDF too. So
it's awesome.
Black and white and color. Because my artist absolutely rules in black and white, and it didn't cost me anything extra, so I figure if people want it, they can read it. If not, they don't have to.
What I don't see on here, and it may just be this will lead to another question, but I don't see a retailer tier.
I didn't do that this time, and I think I should have, because I didn't think it was a thing. I'm new. I've only been doing this 7 months. Okay. So I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but somebody had bought issues off of my website. And I thought that was weird that they bought like 2 sets of 1, 2, 3. And I had wrote to them and I said, oh, I shipped it in the mail. I'm like, oh, we're a comic book store. We wanted to sell yours in here. I was like, I would have sold it a little cheaper because you guys paid like more than, they paid a lot. So I might do that. I didn't know that was a thing, but someone had mentioned it. So I might have to do that.
Yeah. We're good friends with the guys who are Comicsburg, the publisher out of Pittsburgh. And, one of their guys was doing a brand new Kickstarter and Marvin was on and we were like, please tell me he put a retailer tier. He's like, son of a bitch.
I can still add one.
So we love those. Yeah, we love those because they're usually like 5 to 10 copies.
I was just gonna say, like, how many is on there?
Usually there's two. There's a 5-copy one for like the smaller individual stores, and then there's like a 10-copy one. I like the 10-copy ones because we have 6 stores, so it makes sense for me to just be like, boom, 10 copies, see how it goes. If it goes well, I'll keep backing it. Blah, blah, blah.
So if I did that, would I do it for the issue 5 or would I do it for issue 1? Because why would they want issue 5?
Well, I mean, you could probably, I would have like, for that, I would say you may want to do like a 5-issue one and a 10-issue one for just what you have currently, right?
Oh, I have like 1,700. I got plenty.
Right. Of just that one issue, right? And then you would have a, I guess, like, so it's 6 issues out right now, right? So it'd be like a 30 copies, which would be 5 of each, and then like a 50-copy bundle. And that would be like the catch-up retailer bundle, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know how well it would do, but I think you would at least get some retailers to pick that up if they know. Yeah, right. So, especially since like I really love the theme, I really love the vibe of the book. I really like the art's really good. You know, it's no Jim Lee, but it's good. So,
I said, this is his first paid job, so. Yeah. I mean, each book gets better than the last one, and he's gotten really, really, I mean, by the time he got to issue 4, like, it's just, some people thought I was a different artist. I mean, they were all good.
Yeah.
But when I posted like a page, someone came to me, two people were like, is this the same artist? And at first I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. So I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I was like, why? They're like, cause it's really good. I was like, oh yeah. He's taking classes and he's getting to know the characters, and yeah, he's gotten a lot better. So, yeah, I mean, he's always been good, but it's just getting better as he goes.
Sequential art is what, from what I understand, sequential art is the hardest thing for any artist to keep up on. And like I know people that were editors, and they're like, yeah, like we always ask to see sequential because, you know, nobody can really do it. And weirdly, so and I think Justin and I were having this conversation. It's hard to find good sequential artists in America right now, mm-hmm. right? Like a lot of these guys are great for covers because they can do one, bang it out, make it look real sexy. But you ask them to put like, you know, do 22 pages in a month and have a background in there and then have it at a deadline for an inker and a colorist. The inkers and colorists, there's a lot of those, but it's hard to find good sequential artists in America to do it because a lot of the guys working for the big two right now are from Spain, Brazil, Argentina,
Philippines,
yeah, like everywhere. Like Art Germ's from the Philippines, like, or Singapore. He's from Singapore. So
I will tell you, it took me months to find an artist, and I spent thousands on it. And if I was to give any advice, because I've been saying, oh, what's your advice for new people? Don't do character designs. Just ask for a page, because my first months of it was asking for designs. And then when I asked for a test page, like you said, it does not look like the characters that they did. So finally, halfway through, I'm like, I'm just going to give them a page from the script, and I'm going to give them all the same page, and I'm going to see, you know, how it works out. And that's the only thing that worked out. Cause after spending thousands on it and months on it, cause there were some good artists, but none of them looked the way I wanted the characters to look. Mm-hmm. And by the time I had found mine, what happened was, is I posted in a part of the story in Facebook, and I was exhausted at this point. So like, I didn't care anymore. So I was like, if anyone wants to do a test page for a 45 issue, you know, series, you know, you do it for free, but then if I select it, I'll pay you for the page, and then I'll pay you, you know, obviously to continue. And I didn't think anyone was going to do it. But 5 people were doing it. And then my artist contacted me, and this is going to sound really bad. I didn't like any of his art because he does portraits. And I didn't like the realistic look because I want the, you know, comic book. So he said, I mean, it was obviously skilled. I mean, it was phenomenal, but it just wasn't, you know, what I wanted. So he says, are you still taking submissions? And I said, well, I'll make a deal with you. I said, I have five people doing a free page. If you want to do a free page, I'll look at it now. If you want to wait till after they're done, if I don't select one of them, I'll pay you to do a page. So he's like, oh, I'll do a free one. It was phenomenal. Like, it was exactly the picture of the characters in my head. I paid all the other ones to go away, and then I just hired him. And and at first we butt heads. Not to say that anybody's going to have trouble working with him. He's actually phenomenal, and we don't have any issues now. But I was used to, when I had done one other issue, which did not go well, but I was used to giving the artist just the script, and then they do the exact panels you tell them to do. That's what everyone said. You know, you have five panels on a page. He doesn't work that way. He's phenomenal at panels. He makes it like a movie. Like, he makes, you know, this whole action-packed thing. And I didn't understand that. So we kind of butt heads, because I'm just like, you have to, I'm telling you what to put, and you're doing all these things. So we kind of came to a compromise where I cut my panels down from 6 to 3, to 3 to 4. And then he turns it into whatever the hell he wants to. And since then, it's been, you know, there's no issues. He hands it in, and I'm like, that's phenomenal. Do more. And then to go. So it works out great. And it was so funny, because I was so frustrated in the beginning, because I did not understand it. My husband's like, you need a new artist. He's like, no, I don't. And I was like, I need to figure out how to make this work. And once I figured that out, it was gold. And then by the following issue, he's like, I know these characters, and, you know, and he loves the story too. I'm really lucky. Because he's not just a paid artist. He's like part of the team. You know, he cares about the story. He loves the story. He went away for 4 weeks. My husband said, don't bother him. Don't message him. Leave him alone. I was like, I wasn't doing anything. And 2 weeks in, he messages me, and he's like, I missed drawing the story. I can't wait to get home. I was like, we're having withdrawal from pictures. So hurry up and get home. So it actually worked out. And then he'd like message her a couple of days, like 10 more days. And I was like, just get home. It worked out really well. Very lucky to have somebody that's totally into it. And he actually got upset the other day, because I said, oh, I wish you could do the spinoff. He goes, why can't I do the spinoff? I was like, well, you have 45 issues to do for this story, and we're already 7 issues into series 2. I mean, unless you want to clone yourself, I don't know when you're going to do this spinoff. I wish we could. I'd clone him in an instant.
So is he from near you, or how did you guys meet up?
We met up on Facebook. He's actually in the UK. He does want to come here. Like, he wants to do cons here. My husband wants to go there, because the best thing about comics is wherever I want to travel, it's tax deductible. So, so I'm like, yeah, let's go to London. So we're going to try to get there eventually. But yeah, he's super gung-ho about it. I'm about to ship out his issues, because I've been holding on to him. And he's like, where are my issues? I was like, all right, slacking over here. But he's so fast, though. So by the time I'm ready to ship him out, the other one's on the way. So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
I love it. I mean, my wallet doesn't like the speed as much as I love the speed. But, you know.
Well, I mean, hopefully the Kickstarters hopefully cover that, though. So that's kind of the hope, right?
The last one did, and I'm hoping that this one will come close, because I don't really, you know, need the profit. I just needed to cover itself so that I could pay my artist and keep making them. That's all that matters to me. And hopefully I could pay him more, because he's severely underpaid. He picked his price, fortunately, but he's severely underpaid. and hopefully I could pay him more one day, so he doesn't go anywhere and find out how amazing he is and all that stuff. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, I mean, it just sounds so cool to hear like two creators that found each other and then are passionate about the same like project so much that it just works.
Yeah.
Like it, you know,
it's a rarity.
It is. And like, and you'll understand this, because you told me your husband's a musician. I'm a musician by trade. Like, before I have a music business degree, blah, blah, blah. Like, when you're in a band and you get that guy, whether it's the drummer or the bass player or whoever, but they just, you click and everything runs super smooth, and you never have to think. Like, it is the best feeling ever. And so I imagine that's akin to that vibe of we can just roll this and just keep going. And it's, you know,
yeah. I mean, I have that. I have the best team. Like, I have that with my co-writer. I have that with my artist. And, you know, my co-writer and I get asked all the time, do you guys butt heads? Because we write to, you know, we write our own characters. But no, we don't. We're really, really on sync. And half the time, she doesn't even know what I'm sending her until I, you know, I write it. I don't even know what the hell I'm writing until I write it. Like, I worked on, we finished the spinoff, which was five other novels. And I started book one of the second series in the spinoff. And I just sent her like a 15,000 word reply. And I added everything up. We're over the 1 million mark on words in the story. Wow. So we have written 1 million words plus for this story. So we have plenty of stories to release, but it's also frustrating because we broke it down into five books, so it makes it a little bit easier. So for new people coming in, it'll be, you know, January is going to be book two, you know, chapter one. So it'll be a little bit easier to, they can buy either the floppies or they can buy the graphic novel. So it'll be a little bit easier, but I love seeing them. Like, I read, obviously I continue to read them all because I love seeing them. I love the characters. I love there's so much intricate things in the background that it's hard. I can't explain it all because it's such a complex story. But it's so cool to be able to have people read it and be interested in it so I can keep making them I added certain things that weren't in the original novels. Like, originally the fathers, I think you only read one and two, but the fathers appear in three. So you have, the whole story is pretty much, Serafina, the angel, and Draven, the demon. They're trying to survive, you know, this town merging with hell. And their fathers are after them. Draven's, obviously, his father's a demon and hers is an angel. She was created from this angelic weapon and it has the power of souls. And they're trying to capture this weapon from her and then use it for their war to tip it in the favor of either heaven or hell. But Draven and Serafina have no idea. We do, because we get to see the fathers plotting against them and working off, you know, on the, and the father controls Anubis with the remote control. And Draven's father controls the Hellhounds, and you learn a lot of it in issue seven. You get to see, even they get to learn finally some details, but they don't really know what's going on, which I kind of liked it. Like, in the story, in the original story, the fathers didn't come out till series two. So in this one, we get to see, I want the people to know that they weren't just two humans running around like nuts, you know, fighting zombies and zombie mermen and, you know, hellhounds and Anubis and ghosts and all that stuff. That there's a more intricate story behind it. But now that I see it, I'm so glad I did it. And Anubis is in it more than he was in the original novel, because seeing him was so cool. I mean, he's just so cool. I have my emotional support.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have a lot of plushies and all that stuff, but I didn't think he would be that popular. Everyone's like, oh, you're so smart to choose Anubis. Is like, I just like the character. It wasn't like I had planned it. But now he's in all of them.
we actually have a coworker who has a cat named Anubis. So
nice. Yeah, which is surprising, because there actually is an Egyptian god that is a cat. Technically ours is supposed to be a jackal, but we made it a dog because we both love Doberman Pinschers, and she has a Doberman Pinscher, so he's technically a Doberman Pinscher.
I always assumed he was a jackal myself, so
yeah, he's supposed to be a jackal.
Which is a dog. It is a species, he's a dog.
Yeah,
so yeah, you're not off.
We didn't do the headdress, which I was for and again, because everyone had a headdress, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do the headdress. I wish I gave him a tail though, because tails are really cool. But no tail, so we didn't do a tail. And we have a lot of unique add-ons and stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw the add-on or the tier to be drawn in as a zombie. So like, you could be drawn in as a zombie in issue eight. And my artist, like I said, does portraits, so he did the vampires, three people. I did 42 interviews last campaign and never once mentioned these being drawn in as a vampire, like not even once. So I mentioned it like the day it was ending, and like three people jumped on. I was like, I probably should have mentioned that before. And it wasn't there like the first opening day, so like half the people didn't even see it. But he did such an amazing job making them look exactly like the people. One of them is my brother, which I was thrilled to kill my brother in a story. It's like, that's finally. Awesome. Yeah. He's like, I want to be decapitated. I was like, done. So yeah. I loved it. And for people to let them know that our vampires are a little bit different. We call them a subspecies of vampires, so nobody gets mad. But their heart beats every 6 hours, so they have really clotted blood. It's just enough to keep off rigor mortis. It makes them stronger and makes them more hungry. But also if they bite you or taste your blood, they can track you wherever you go, like a homing beacon. Which in itself is terrifying.
Holy crap, it is.
And if you kill one of them, they can track you where they will track you down and kill you for revenge. So of course, she gets attacked and bit, and she kills one of them. So now she has to, they have to go and track down the entire family, which could be 5 or 500, and kill them all before they can get to her. So that's kind of the plot of 4 through 6 while they're, you know, in this town. So it's, there's more revealed in the background in 7, but yeah, so you get to see lots of vampires. You can only kill them by chopping off their heads or burning, because personally those are the two best ways. So we get to kill those. Plus it looks a little grosser when it's clotted blood, so gotta love that. but what's a little bit different than ours than Buffy, Buffy's there, they have no soul. Right. But I want them to be more cruel because I'm evil like that, but they actually have their soul, and but because of the clotted blood, they need thicker blood. So the blood has to be, or they need more nutrition. It has to be directly from a human. It can't be from animals. It can't be from a blood bag. So when the human turns, they either, you know, if they don't feed directly, they decompose like a zombie. So they either to kill humans to survive, or they let themselves die. So for clotters, which is a subspecies, the clotters, to keep their species going, they really turn the most evil people they can find. So murderers and serial killers, anyone they can get, because they're more likely to kill humans and survive. So these are much more ruthless than regular vampires would be.
Cool. All right. So website is worthychaoscomics.com, correct?
Yep.
And on there you can get, you can, it looks like you can download the
you can download the issues, the right? PDFs, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then you can also get printed issues and the plushes. Ooh. Clothes and hats. Ooh.
yeah
just a hat.
Yeah. There's actually hats in the add-on too of the Kickstarter. And the best way to find us on Kickstarter is to search Worthy Chaos. I always make sure to mention that because we are the only thing that pops up. So it's so much easier. No one needs links. You just Worthy Chaos and there you go.
Cool. And then you're also on Facebook and Instagram, right?
Yep. I am on Instagram, but I'm never on there. It just, we have a site there. The best way is Twitter. We have 5,300 followers. We tweet a lot of updates and pages and covers and rewards. We also have a Facebook group. There's a page, but the group is better because we have about 600 members. We only started like 4 weeks ago, but we update there too, and artists can post their art and other indie creators can post their Kickstarters and stuff. So it's kind of a little community. We like to support all the indie creators because they all supported me, so I'm very lucky to have them there because they're amazing. I'm very lucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I find this awkward and awesome, but your website has hours of operation on it. I've never seen that for a comic publisher in my life, but it says 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, closed Sundays on the very bottom. I was like just scrolling down to see if there's anything else I would like to mention, and I'm like, weird. Also, your Facebook is not listed on the website, only your Instagram and Twitter.
Just like I said, I'm glad you said that, because we just started the group like 4 weeks ago, so I should probably add it to the website.
Yeah
so I will do that. Also people can add me, Carissa Grant. I'm on Facebook. I'm also one of those people that would have gotten kidnapped as a kid. I talk to anybody that talks to me. So
Nice. You and I would have been ICQ friends. I was one of those people too. So, cool. All right. All right. One last pitch on the Kickstarter. And so when does it end? What should they search for, and how can they find your stuff on there so that they make sure they find some of your awesome stuff?
So we are live until July 17th at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We actually have a closeout show on the Madness channel. And easiest way to find us is either, no one can spell my name right, so let's go with Worthy Chaos. You can go with Chris or Grant, but we will go with Worthy Chaos is the simplest thing to search on Kickstarter. Every project should be four of them that pop up. There's a lot of add-ons. There's tiers, for one and then for five. And also all the back issues are add-ons, even the variants and everything you can get there. We have a lot of merch. We have plushies, like I said, the Anubis plushies. We have, the zombie merman plushies. The next Kickstarter has skeleton birds, which is my favorite. So we try to add something else because there's a zombie merman plushie this time, and there's a zombie merman statue, handmade statue. We did have a cute angry Anubis statue, but it just got bought yesterday, so we have one tall left. There's one gold 3D printed left, and then they'll never be made again. We do have Easter eggs in every issue. From either horror games or classic horror movies. And when the graphic novel's released, whoever finds all of them first and posts it, they get a 3D black Anubis statue for free. So there's that. So keep an eye out for the Easter eggs in there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep it going, because I really enjoy this. It's super cool. And I'm probably going to at least download the rest of them so I can have all of them.
Cool. Yeah. Be careful. They are slightly addicting because I'm biased, but especially when book three comes out, all of them end on the worst cliffhangers ever. So everyone's going to kill me. But yeah, we like to end them to torture everybody. Sorry. That's just the way it is. That's why they're all unique. Like, we don't have a set page count. Like, the first one was 28, the next two were 32, I think it was then 28, this one's 24, the next one's 36, and then the next one, or 34, and then the one after that's like 38. So it's wherever we want to end it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Bigger, you're going to have to get square bound. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. 54 could have been two issues. I mean, I think it's 38 pages. So it could have been two issues, but I'm impatient and I want to see them done. So so I'm like, no. Plus, Halloween is when our Kickstarter ends, and that's 1 year of making comics. So it was kind of So I wanted to do one book for this year. So,
well, hopefully we see you someday up at our Three Rivers Comic Con, which is comic focused. And Pittsburgh is a town that loves horror and supernatural stuff.
Yeah. So, I just heard that. I just learned that it's big on horror. Like, how did I not know this?
You know that George Romero, half the horror, here, right?
Half the zombie movies ever made were made in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area.
Yeah,
we are zombie town.
It's true.
I'm gonna have to come there. Don't you have to? Is do you have a? Are you doing a Comic Con or is there a horror con I should go to?
It's, well, we run a Comic Con. Like, yes. It is a comic focused show. Like, it is, last year we had like P. Craig Russell and Tom Zaylor and Andrew Pepoy and some of the guys that are local that are there every year, like Ron Frenz, Pat Olive, Daryl Banks, Wayne Foucher, like some really great like Bronze Age guys. Nice. So every year we've had guys like Mark Waid, we've had like Howard Chaykin and Rick Leonardi and other guys in the past. So it's a very comic focused show, but we don't do like, hey, I'm going to pay this actor who's never written a comic ever. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, randomly had a Power Ranger there, not this year, but last year, but because the guy who had the booth was friends with the guy and had him come in for Sunday. And I was like, okay, cool. He's at your booth. I don't care. I'm not going to promote him though. Like, it's like, I'm like, I'm not paying him to be there. He's like, hey, that's fine. Whatever. So
what month do you do this?
It's the first weekend of June. It's actually the first and second of June next year. So, we're going to be opening up options, pretty soon. Probably by the end of July, we'll have the registration open and everybody will be able to hit that up. So make sure you do that.
Yeah.
We'd love to come, have you come up and hang out. We have guys that rate, like Dennis Robinson, who does Lycan. It's a graphic novel book. I don't know if you've ever read that book or checked that out. He's a great guy to hang out with. He came up to the show. He did pretty well. There's like all kinds of guys that do.
You're forgetting that your vibe. Buddy.
Well, there's Sean Gabbarin, who writes everything horror. He's literally written a book called Let's All Go Die. And it's like about these people, these kids with terminal illnesses that purposefully go to a summer camp to get slasher killed.
That's awesome, though.
I know, right? It's called Let's Go Die. Let's Go Die. Yeah.
Wow. That's unique.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then we have like Robert Hack, who did Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So all kinds of nice. Cool.
Is it 2 days stuff. Or 3 days?
2 days.
Good. Yeah. 3 days can be exhausting.
I did a
4 day one. I thought I was going to die. It was like Thursday through Sunday. And I was like, this is a long time.
Was that MegaCon?
It was Lexington, Kentucky.
The Lexington show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good show from what I hear, though.
Yeah. You know what, though? It didn't work for me because it was too loud to pitch anything. I mean, no one could even hear me when I tried talking. And I'm pretty loud. I'm an Italian New Yorker. I mean, I'm pretty loud. but I think it would be an amazing con to attend. So next year I'm going to attend because the place was huge. I went to go get food and my neighbor, watched my table. It took me like 20 minutes to get like two buildings over and down two floors just to get a pretzel and a slice of pizza and
stuff,
$20 and then make my way back up. I mean, it was huge. So I would love to attend it. I'm at Fanboy next week in Knoxville.
Nice.
But I've never been to that one. I've heard that it's pretty big. So we'll see how that is. Nashville was great. I did Nashville last month. And I loved it. It's the most I made. They gave us a huge table. Everyone was very receptive. I sold I think it was like 15 or more sets of three. I only bring 1 through 3 with me because I'm not going to bring them all. But so I bring 1 through 3 and like everyone bought those. I think there's only like two people that only bought one. Issue one. So yeah, so it was phenomenal. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
good for you.
Why, thank you.
All right, well, now we're going to talk a little bit about books that came out this week. You're more than welcome to chip in and do anything, and we just want you to keep hanging out with us because we like it. So
awesome.
All right, so Justin, you have 3 books. I only have 2.
I can cut it down to 2.
All right, we got 15 minutes to do 2 books each.
All right,
I'll go first then. Local Man, number 5, by Tony Fleeks and Tim Seeley. This book was awesome. It is, again, a flip book. So one side is the 90s Image team that he's on. And the other side is like the now where he's like in a hometown.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is all about Cross Jack is the character's name. And you find out earlier in the other issues that he ended up sleeping with another member of the team named Neon and her boyfriend / whatever dude is named. His code name is Captain Camo or Camo Commander or something, Camouflage Commander. But he ends up being able to steal other people's powers. So he takes this character named Peekaboo's powers, who can teleport, and he takes basically a butcher knife and he just starts just popping around and slashing this dude, because you find out that not only did he sleep with this girl, she ended up having an abortion. Ooh. So Yeah, so it's all kinds of crazy. That's why I got kicked off the team. And then, like, just it's just this, I don't know, it's like 12 pages of just a fight, and it's so good. The art's phenomenal. And then at the end, you kind of find out that the girl that was kind of like a caretaker when they were training is also a double agent. And then you also find out like Neon's side of why she got the abortion. And like, she's like, I didn't get it because I didn't want to have the baby. I did it because you would probably just walk away. And he was like, what? So it was very interesting. And then the flashback stuff is learning that he was on the team with all the commander guy killed all those people that he was training with, like Peekaboo and Seascape and Meltdown and King Bee and the Slick, which I thought the Slick was hilarious because Slick's power is that he can just make like almost like lube instead of sweat, and he could just do it on command. Wow. And he could just, yeah. So all these other inferior heroes, he basically kills them and absorbs their powers. So, but Crossjack trained with all of them, and it gets crazy. So you get a little bit of backstory every single issue. I love this book. I think these guys have a complete hit, and they make fun of like 90s Image. Like at one point they talk about, oh man, hold on. Let me see if I can find them. He says something. I mean,
it's something about Rob Liefeld's feet.
No.
Or it's, pouches.
It's about, no. They make a reference to Wildcats because in the flashback, I like the commander Wildcat. Is talking to the vice president, and he's talking about, he says, yes, while being possessed or replaced by an alien demon for several months has always been refocusing of your priorities. So, like, that happened. That was a Wildcat story to show you that it's in that continuity. So this is it's kind of like the Doom Patrol of the Image universe, right? Like,
wow,
like that's how I'll put it. It's like the Jeez. Doom Patrol of the Image universe. So I'm giving this 2 eggs scrambled and 1 crispy piece of bacon, no toast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we rate our comics using breakfast food, if you couldn't tell.
Apparently, yeah, yes, I got that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. I'll do my independent. I'm reading The Last Ronin, The Lost Years. This is number 4. After we left from the last issue, Mikey got blinded. He was being treated at this village, not only for his blindness, but he was getting martial arts training to increase his knowledge. And of course, the last issue ended with him regaining his sight just enough to see this girl that he kind of was flirting with get slaughtered right in front of his eyes. So it's always this last Ronin, like, these guys really want to put Michelangelo through the ringer. So this issue, he gets captured. Yay. And he's kind of like, so like, poor me, what's wrong with me? Why is all this happening? He gets captured by these terrorists, so to speak. And it's kind of a Mad Max gladiator situation where this group is gathering all the mutants. And of course, Mikey's a mutant. And they're doing fights between humans and mutants. And they have them in these little internment camps, you know. Well, Mikey, of course, makes a friend by the name of Shaka. And they become good friends, but...
tell me it's a cat.
What, Shaka? Tell me. No, Shaka's a human.
Oh.
Shaka's a human.
Because I was like, Shaka Khan?
No.
Shaka Khan.
Although the human is African-American. So.
Okay.
And they're, as their friendship blossoms, this tournament, or the fights escalate where Mikey's the last mutant alive and Shaka is the last human alive. So of course they're end up fighting each other in the book. As they're doing it, Shaka takes the fight and he ends up slashing one of the captors. Now what they do is like they're doing like the Suicide Squad thing where they inject nanos into their necks so it explodes their heads. So Shaka gets punished by getting his head blown off right in front of Mikey. And that's where it starts. That's where the book ends. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, tragedy upon tragedy. Oh, also in the book, it does show the new turtles getting trained by in their training, they're learning how to fight and anticipate moves and everything.
Right.
Which is fine. That was the beginning of the book, but the main focus was this flashback of Mikey dealing with this crap while he was gone from New York. I want to say I give this a solid scrambled eggs with pepper jack cheese on top.
Ooh, spicy. And
I'm going to give it some hash browns.
There you go.
Wow.
And I'll give it a half a bagel.
Ooh.
So, wait,
toasted or not toasted a bagel?
Who eats raw bagels? No.
Right.
That's people, insane. Exactly. No.
Right. People are dumb toasted. If they eat raw bagels.
Toasted. That's how they pick out who are sociopaths and who are...
This is how I know you're cool, man. Toast your bagel.
Unless it's the crunchy bagel from Panera, you can eat that raw or toasted. Fair. It's good either way.
I've never had that bagel.
All right. My but second it's book
pretty solid.
Is She-Hulk 14. We're almost at the end of the second arc. Beautiful Jen Bartel cover. It's great. So in this
awesome there.
What's that?
It's gorgeous there.
Oh my god. It's so good. I love her art. And I love like the box where it's just like like it's very She-Hulk breaking that fourth wall. Like, I'm just gonna sit here. So in the story so far, I haven't reviewed this since I think the break. So she's still with Jack of Hearts. There's this new villain called the Scoundrel that is basically a super ladies man. He just like brokers and does like thief deals, and he'll like steal some shit and sell to somebody, and he doesn't care because it's just money to him. So it starts out, she's with the Fantastic Four and they're trying to figure out all the pieces that the Scoundrel took, if it can, like what they're trying to build. And basically whoever he stole it for is building a bomb. And the whole time she's in the meeting, the Scoundrel is texting her and it's like, I just can't stop thinking about you. And it's very, very creepy. And she thinks it's kind of creepy, but also kind of sweet, like the way he does it. So they get out of the meeting. The thing's like, hey, man, I just want to talk to you, Jen. Like, you're not like sleeping with this guy, right? And she's like, no, I'm not sleeping with this guy. He's like, okay, cool. We're going to Fight Club tonight. He's like, yeah, because they have a superhero fight club for all the super strong. So she goes home, calls Jack of Hearts. Jack of Hearts is out of town. And it's a really funny moment where he's like, yeah, I tried calling you like 6 times, but I keep like discharging my phone because I keep absorbing all the energy from it. And he's like, I finally figured out the right pocket to keep this thing in. I'm just like, that's fair. Very Jack of Hearts moment. So the Scoundrel calls again and is like, we should have another dance. And she's like, I don't really want to do that. And he's like, do you want to come over for dinner? Do you want to go for dinner? And she's like, no. And he's like, too bad I'm here. And she and she looks out her window, like, of her apartment building, because she's staying in Janet Van Dyne's, like, penthouse. And he's there with a giant freaking ship. So, of course, she goes in, has dinner with him, has wine. Then you find out, like that he was stealing parts for a bomb for somebody. She's like, well, what were they going to blow up? And he's like, New York. That's why I took you away. And she's like, what? And that's where it stops. So it's very interesting. Also, he's indestructible, which is one of the reasons why it's a turn on for her, because, you know, she's not going to break him. So she can go full Hulk. It'll be fine. But I love this book. I love Rainbow Rowell's writing in it. I love the art. I think she really gets the character from, like, the Dan Slott and John Byrne vibe of She-Hulk. All the vibe that people who watched the show and didn't like it were apparently not reading ever in their life. I'm going to give this 2 eggs, cheddar cheese, home fries.
Ooh,
home fries. 2 strips of bacon and a large black coffee. Oh, that's how good I love this book.
Wow. All right.
I can't wait till I get to a book I really hate and be like, cold oatmeal.
Right. All right. I'm doing Darth Vader, Black, White, and Red, number 3. Ooh. I really love this series. Like, I never into the Star Wars comics, but damn, this thing is got me reading it. Looking forward to it. Now the first story is the Hard Shutdown, and this is the continuation from these guys capture Vader. They have him on a slab. They're going to try to dissect him, and he pretty much just slaughters everybody in the lab while, like, he's just laying in the slab immobile, but using his force powers, he just completely destroys everybody. Well, they're like, well, the only way out of this is to destroy the lab itself. So they get in their ship and they're trying to destroy the lab. And of course, it's missing. And they're like, what's going on here? And then next thing you know, here comes the ship going down into the lab. And they're like, what's going on? And he's controlling the ship, bringing it down on the lab that they were holding him in. And of course, like, the guy is like the one who started this whole thing, the one whose father made the suit. His control over Vader is now, like, non-existent, because he got the device that was on his wristband got destroyed. So here comes Vader coming out of the flaming lab. And it's like this glorious, like, awe moment. He even says to himself, he even says, like, the last dialogue is like, you're right, father. You know, Darth Vader is absolutely beautiful. And it's just like, okay, you know, got to hand it to Jason Aaron for writing some really awesome, because that's who wrote this whole story.
Oh yeah.
Well, that he wrote the Hard Shutdown.
Oh, that's
cool. So yeah, I did my research on who's writing all these stories. Now this one is our buddy Daniel Warren Johnson. Did the second story. He wrote it and art. He did the art for it, and it starts off with Empire and Rebel forces fighting in space, but they're heading towards planet Hoth, and the Rebel forces are surrounding this giant transport ship of families and civilians trying to just get away. Of course, Empire's following them, and they're like, you just see one ship. Guess who's in the ship chasing after him? And the Empire forces is told to stay back. And they're like, why are you stopping? And they're like, he said he will take care of this. So here it comes down. All the pilots are like, okay, we gotta take out his weapon systems. They actually take out his weapon system in his ship. And they're like, well, how's he gonna destroy the ship? Oh, he uses his force powers again. And he basically is choking two pilots at the same time. So they crash into each other. He takes another ship and just rams it right into another ship, destroys all the rebel fighters pretty much. And then he takes the transport and just slams it down to the base of the Hoth. Totally obliterates everybody. There's a handful of rebel soldiers left, like screaming and cursing. You know, they're trying to shoot him. And of course, he's just kind of, you know, fly. And the one guy's like, you'll pay for this. You know, there will be justice. And Vader just kind of slices him in half. And
damn.
Yeah, this one's very like, the art is awesome because it's just, you see the swirls like of the ships, and even like you see like the force that he's using. Daniel shows the swooshing of everything. It's his style of, you know, Murder Falcon in the Star Wars universe is excellent. So I really enjoyed that story. Now the third story is a little bit lackluster. There is a Lieutenant Salu and Vader are traveling to a third moon for a diplomatic mission called the moon is called Sagena 3. Now the lieutenant happens to be from that planet. That's why she was brought to the diplomatic mission. And as they're walking towards, you know, jauntly, turns out this is a very rebel heavy village. So they're trying to, you know, do everything they can to stop him. He just kind of does the whole, yeah, you're not worth it. And he just kind of does his thing. They get closer to the village, and right there they stop in front of the lieutenant's house. He figures out that she was a rebel spy planted into the Empire to spy on him. And he turns around, he's like, okay, here's the diplomatic mission is, you're going to become a double agent for me. And we're going to control the rebel forces, not to destroy them, but to control the rebel forces for the morale of the Empire. I mean, this is where you not only see his power, you see how diabolical he is in the end here. This has to be like one of the best, you know, show off all avenues of Vader, you know, with very little, like he doesn't say a heck of a lot in the entire issue throughout all the stories. He doesn't have to. I definitely give this a Benedict Arnold egg. With home fries and hash browns, and you just got to spread it with a lot of heavy gravy, because this was really awesome. If you're a big Star Wars fan and a Vader fan, you have to get this series. This has to be part of your collection. So,
all right. So while you were on the 3-in-1 book, Carissa sent me some awesome. She sent me the homage cover. So we're going to, like, and the books that it homages. So check this out. Oh,
there you go.
That is awesome, mm-hmm. Right? So
I know exactly what that homage is.
So the thing I didn't know was, I was like, oh, like, well, what's the left side with, like, the guy holding, I believe that's Sarah in that, right?
Sarah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, It's Tomb of Dracula 1. That makes a lot of sense. But like, here's the Witchblade cover.
Yep.
Which was 170.
Yep.
And then there's the X-Men. The X-Men homage.
You know what's really funny though? If you go back to the Witchblade thing, so everything in this actually happens in issue 6, which is what this is for. He's chained to, and it wasn't on purpose. Somebody sent this after it was done. I couldn't think of a cover. So I was like, okay, so the W is Worthy Chaos. He's chained to a pole in it from the vampires. The clotters are, you know, knock her out. And the skulls on the bottom, if you look, all have vampire teeth. And they get set on fire. So without even on purpose, somebody said, this would be a cool homage. I was like, all of this happened in this series. Like, it was just like the exact issue they were sending it before. So it fit so perfectly. Yeah. And he did an amazing job too. That's my internal artist. He just did a phenomenal job. That's and if you look on the left on our logo, whatever our monster is what is underneath our logo. So the teeth is for the vampires.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was actually my artist's idea. And I was like, if you want to torture yourself for every issue, go for it. So
it's just a digital one-time make it thing. It's
fun. No, he does it every time. So So he asked me what should I do for the issue 7? I was like, I don't know. It's got an angel, a demon, the hellhounds, the Anubis. I was like, do a hellhound. So it's gonna be a hellhound. And then for book 2, it'll probably be a giant salamander or vampire, a zombie, or a ghost. So
salamander, that's awesome.
Yeah, we have giant salamanders. They're like our homage to Lickers from
Resident.
So, like, they go on the ceiling and they like slash you with their tail as they go by. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
If I do say so myself.
All right, well, I think we are we're a little over time. We've been running that a little lately, but It's been okay.
Your awesomeness can't be contained within 1 hour.
It's true. It's too much awesome for 1 hour.
Yeah.
We really try every week. We always start with like, we really need to keep this to an hour.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's like hour 15, hour 20. It's not the worst thing. It's not like we're doing 2 hours.
So like Ron Friends or like Howard Bender come on, and then it's 2 hours of story time.
I was on a show that didn't tell me, like, now that's why I asked you in the beginning. I'm trying to get in the habit of asking. They did not tell me, and it was a late night. I think it started like 10. It was 3 hours. It was
like, oh my god.
So then after the show they kept talking for another hour. I was like, I have to get up in like 4 hours.
So, yeah. All right, so we'll sign off, and then we'll talk to you afterwards after we get everybody up. So see you later, guys. See you next week. Hope you enjoyed everything. Yep. Have a safe and happy 4th of July. Make sure you shop your local comic shop this weekend. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter who it is. Just support local. You know, if you happen to be in an NDC, that's a bonus point, but whatever. and don't forget to check out the Facebook Live sale I'm going to have on the main New Dimension Comics Facebook page tomorrow. It's the one that does not have a store attached. It is the overarching corporate one, as I like to call it, the overlord account. because you know, you gotta have one, right? So thanks everybody for watching. Thanks Carissa for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Have a great weekend, guys.
Yep.